Let's open up our Bibles this morning. It's not a different message. It's still on the same message that I was on, dealing with the missing 3 days and three nights of Jesus after he was up on the cross. And we've been talking about that for some time, but I want you to look in Leviticus chapter 16. But I have a new title today for this, and that title basically is going to be talking about identification, how that we are identified with Christ, how we become identified with Christ. Everybody say identified. There is a law of identification, and we need to understand that law of identification. And I hope, maybe, I believe God, before today's over with, you'll understand more about being identified. Hallelujah. Look at the 16th chapter of Leviticus. I want to read from verse 6, a few verses, maybe down through verse 10, and then we'll continue. In verse 6 it says, "And Aaron shall offer a bullock for a sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." Now, we've been ministering on this and we've been sharing because we preach the cross, and everybody preaches the cross, but not many people preach about the 3 days and three nights that is a part of the whole package that Jesus took. And Jesus very plainly told us that that was the greatest witness that was about the crucifixion, was the 3 days and the three nights. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, it's going to take two goats on the Day of Atonement. This happened once a year in the nation of Israel. This that God told him to do, called the Day of Atonement. And on that Day of Atonement, the high priest would take two goats, or the people would bring two goats in, or we could say a lot of times they was used lambs, but lambs and goats were mostly used to speak of the same thing. And so that they brought the two goats in and gave it to the priest, but the priest couldn't go in with the sacrifice of the people without first taking a sacrifice of his own and cleansing himself and his own household. Because I want you to understand that when the race fell in Adam, the whole human race fell. Everybody that was flesh and blood failed, and everybody entered into sin. So the priest, even though he was chosen of God, had to have a cleansing himself before he could take the offering of the people into the Holy of Holies and do what God asked him to do. Now, it was amazing, because one of these goats that was taken from the people was as he cast lots, said one lot was for the Lord and the other lot was for the scapegoat. Everybody say scapegoat. How many has ever heard the word scapegoat? Uh-huh. You know, that's usually somebody who's given the blame for something. With these two goats, and we want to get a clear understanding, because it'll help us understand who we are in Christ so we can live the way God wants us to live here on earth. See, a lot of people go to church, but they don't live in victory. If you understand the word, you'll live in victory. Because Jesus didn't just give us something that wasn't going to cause us to walk in victory. He gave us what it would take to cause us to walk in victory. Now, if we're not walking in victory, it's not because God hadn't given us the ability to walk in victory. It's because either we don't understand what we have or we don't act on what we know. Thank you for that enthusiasm. You know, that doesn't always get enthusiastic when you say things like that. Because a lot of times we want to blame whatever happens in our life on God. Well, God's not the blame. God's already done everything that can be done. God's already finished the work. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. So the work was completed in Jesus Christ, in the work of the Lord. Now, what we're going to see is one of these goats was to be used as a sacrificial lamb to have the blood drained out, and that blood was to be taken by the high priest into the Holy of Holies and put on a mercy seat that had been given by God to Moses to build. For the priests could only go, the high priest alone could only go into this Holy of Holies. There was priests that would do work in the holy place, and the people could not even come into the holy place or the Holy of Holies. They had to stay outside in the courtyard, and they could only bring their offering and offer the sacrifice, and all the work had to be done by the priest in the holy place or in the Holy of Holies by the high priest alone. And if you notice, the high priest could only go one time a year into this Holy of Holies. And he could not come without blood. He could not come without blood, because if he came without blood, he would die in the Holy of Holies. The priest would have a rope tied around his ankle, and they would put, there were bales and fruit. Between every bale was a fruit tied around the bottom of his skirt, so that when he went in, you could hear him all the time wherever he was walking. Those bells were ringing all the time where he was walking, but a rope was tied on his leg, because if those bells ever quit ringing in the Holy of Holies, they would begin to pull out a dead priest, a dead high priest. So that high priest was sure to follow the instructions of God that was given by Moses to the T, so that when he went in there, he wouldn't die in there. Are you hearing me? Now, I can say a lot about that, and I don't want to do it today. But I wanted to give you this, because he is taking the blood of one of these goats into that place and putting it on the Holy of Holies, so that an atonement is made in the blood of an innocent lamb or an innocent goat here. Are you hearing me? How many of you know how innocent these little animals are when they're just born and they're just a few months old? So he's taking something that represents no sin. No sin. Everybody say no sin. So he's taking the blood of something that has no sin to be an atonement for those who have brought it, who are in sin. So that blood is put on the mercy seat, and God gives mercy instead of judgment. How many of you would rather have mercy than judgment from God? Come on, how many of you would rather have mercy than judgment? Somebody said, just give me what I deserve. You don't want what you deserve, because you deserve to go to hell. We all deserve to go to hell. We'll understand how to think a little bit better as I get in the message today. We all deserve to go to hell, so don't ask God to give you what you deserve. You need mercy. You need to be asking God for mercy. Mercy is about what these goats are about. But it took two goats to explain what Jesus did for us on the cross, and those 3 days and three nights. It took two goats. Everybody say two goats. Two goats. To explain it. One of the goats, then, we said, had to be taken the blood. So the blood had to be from innocent to be innocent blood. It had to be blood without sin. Right? So this tells us why that we had to have an incarnation of Christ. Because there was no man on earth who was without sin. So that's the reason that we had to have an incarnation, is because God had to have a man without sin. And there was no man to find on earth without sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, not because of the sin they commit, but because of the identification of who they are identified with, is the first man, Adam. See, God's going to deal with this, with the cross, on a legal grounds. Everybody say legal grounds. Now, if God doesn't legally deal with this, then he will be in trouble himself as God. In other words, if there's any question to the integrity of God in what he does with Jesus dealing with Adam's transgression and all of us who have fallen into sin, if God were to do anything that would be really questionable about what he does, that it would come against something else that he's already said, then the devil would have God where he wanted him, because he said, I will take my throne and place it above the throne of God. So how many of you know God's not going to put himself in jeopardy to the devil? The Bible says God had this plan before the world began. Amen. Now, what we need to understand here is that blood had to be taken by high priest behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies. But what you don't realize is in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 that the Holy of Holies that Moses made was a shadow or made in the image of one that God created himself in heaven. In other words, there was a mercy seat that God made himself in heaven. And the type was the one he gave Moses to build. The type had to have the animal's blood put on it, but the real one had to have the blood of a man on it. The blood of an innocent man. The blood of a sinless man. But there was no man on earth that was innocent and sinless. Therefore, God planned through incarnation to bring us a man that would be all man, and he would be sinless man, and that he would be put on a time frame that he would be on earth. And the Bible says he would be tempted in every point like the first man, but yet he would not yield to sin. Now, you don't realize it, but he could have yielded to sin, just like the first man, Adam. See, now that's where sometimes we get messed up in church, because we think him being God in flesh, that he couldn't fail. Well, if he couldn't have failed, he couldn't have been the Redeemer. He could fail. He couldn't fail as God, but he could fail as God inside of a man. Because you got to understand that Adam was also God inside. Because not only did God call Jesus his son, God called Adam his son. See, when God made Adam, he made him a son. And what he put inside of him was himself. What Adam lost was the part that was of God inside of him. We call that the spirit, the real us. Amen. And then later on, some 900 years later, Adam physically died, but he died the day he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. That spirit died, which meant that spirit was separated from the life of God. Now, I don't want to get into all this because I'll go back teaching a lot. But what I want you to understand is Jesus has to have a high priest to take that innocent blood into the Holy of Holies where God is. Not the one made by Moses, but that's a type, the one that where God is. Everybody say, where God is.
Where God is.
The thing is, there is no high priest that can take his blood. So this first lamb represents the sinlessness of Jesus before and while he's coming to the cross. Hello? So that all the blood that comes out of him is sinless blood. Everybody say sinless blood. He poured his blood almost completely out before he got to the cross. How many of you have seen the movie? The Passion. How many of you have seen the movie The Passion? They probably didn't even do that totally justice, but that was a good evidence of how much blood that Jesus poured out of his body before he got to the cross. And then once he was there and had the nails nailed on that cross in his hands, and once he had the nails in his feet and everything, and they began to put him up and lift him up and put him on that cross, he's still bleeding. Everybody say he's still bleeding.
Still bleeding.
So that blood is the blood that has to be taken by a high priest into heaven and put on the Holy of Holies in heaven, or you and I are still going to hell. If that blood doesn't get there and be put on that mercy seat that God made in heaven, our redemption will not be sealed. Our redemption will not be good. There is no high priest that is in Jesus' time that is able to take his blood into heaven, because all of them are part of sin. So Jesus has to be raised up as high priest. He's going to be raised up as high priest who will take his own blood into the heavenly holies of holies and put it on the mercy seat and seal our redemption forever. Now, what we don't realize is that God needed the second goat here to tell us the whole story, because the whole story didn't come with just the crucifixion. It came with the 3 days and three nights when Jesus on the cross gave up the ghost. How many of you know what ghost he gave up? His spirit ghost. The real Jesus. Everybody say, the real Jesus was the ghost that he gave up. Now, why would we call our spirit a ghost? Because you can't see a spirit unless it's housed in a body. If your spirit came out, let's just say mine. If my spirit came out of me, you could not see my spirit. But my spirit is the real me. And the moment my spirit came out of me, my body would die instantly. Because the life of me is not the blood. The life of me is not the heart, physical. The life of me is not my muscles. The life of me is not my ligaments. The life of me is not my legs and my feet and my hands and my neck and all of that. The life of me is my spirit. And when a spirit comes out of a body, you cannot see it. Jesus said that he gave up the ghost on the cross, which meant, he said, into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Well, God's will was for his spirit to go to hell.
That's right. Amen.
I say it again. God's will, and look, we have backed it up. I've backed it up with a lot of scripture. I can give you more. I don't know if I have time today. I could give you more. But there's so much scripture from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end that backs up Jesus having to go to hell for those 3 days and three nights. Now, this is probably one of the greatest ones, because the second goat that the high priest had something to do with was called the scapegoat. And when we begin to realize, the word scapegoat itself means a devil or a demon. Everybody say a devil or a demon. Now, it said that the high priest, once he got through doing what was necessary with the first goat in the holies of holies, he would come out and lay both of his hands on the head of the scapegoat, which was a goat for, if you want to write it down, Azazel. You can find this in the Webster's Dictionary, but you can also look it up in some other translations, some other commentaries, and find it. But you can also find it in the Webster's Dictionary. But it says Azazel is the name of this demon that this goat represents. Are you hearing me? Now, when we find that out, we realize that. Let me give you a few things here that some of the other translations says. It says it is a spirit, a demon, or Satan himself. Now, why would God be involved with a devil in redemption? And I'm going to tell you, because it was a devil who stole what we had in the beginning. It was the devil in the garden that was with Adam and Eve. It was the devil who stole our life. So God has to deal with the devil in this situation. So this goat represents God. Now I want you to notice something here, because he said this goat in verse 10 must be presented alive. It's not destroyed. It's not killed and the blood taken out. This goat is dealt with alive. Now, what you must understand is, once you are a spirit being, you will always be that spirit being. There's no way that you will ever cease to be that spirit that you are. That's the reason this goat's not killed, because you can't kill the spirit. And the only reason a body can die is because the spirit had separated from the life of God. Because if the spirit doesn't separate from the life of God, then you can't kill the body either. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Listen, now this is what we want. We'll live with a live spirit. Amen. So here we see in these goats that this goat is presented alive, which meant that there's no way this goat is going to cease to exist. So this goat was taken. Let's go over and read a few verses. This goat was taken in verse 21, 22. Go 21, 22. Let me read 20 as well. Let me read 20. It said, when he had made an end of the reconciling of the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Now that wilderness represents hell. Verse 22, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited. Please mark that, because there again is another reference of this place where this goat goes is hell. Mm-hmm. All right. And he shall let go of the goat in the wilderness. This is a type of Jesus. Those 3 days and three nights, it was when his spirit came out of his body that this begins to happen. Right. Are you hearing me? Because once that spirit came out, now what we must understand is, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go there with me just for a moment. Oh, well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Speaking of Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now what we have to understand is, Jesus came to the cross without sin. He poured his blood out as sinless blood. But on the cross, God made him to be sin. God made him sin with man's sins. This is called identification. See, how many of you realize we wasn't there physically with Adam when he transgressed in the garden? Amen. Any of you there? If you raise your hand, we're going to throw you out. No, nobody was there, right? You wasn't there in flesh and blood. Well, how come everything that was pronounced on him is pronounced on you? See, we wasn't really living there with Adam, but because of identification, we were legally identified with Adam in the garden. So that whatever Adam had been given as punishment, we had to bear it as well. See, when Adam's spirit died, when we come into this earth, see, a lot of people think when they go to church, they have to deal with what they have done in the body they're living in. No, it's not about what you have done in that body. It's about what you have been identified with. You've been identified with one man called Adam. Amen. And because of that one man's transgression, you were born in sin. You were born into sin. And your spirit died when you got here. When it got here. When it, now all spirits come out from God alive. God gives life. And that spirit came out of life, but the moment it got contacted Adam, because of spiritual law and because of identification, every baby, every person that is born in this earth is spiritually dead after the moment that it gets here.
Yeah.
Because the life of God that came from God no longer is in that baby as the life of God. It is spiritually dead.
Right.
It has no life of God or no connection with God in it. So what is in it? The spirit of the devil.
That's right.
I can give you scripture. I can give you scripture, but you got to wait on it just a little bit. Amen. I can give you scripture for every one of this. Ephesians chapter 2 is a good place you can go and find it, but I don't want to go there right now. But we need to realize, I hear people thinking, does that mean that little babies then are going to hell? Absolutely not, because there are other scriptures. In the book of Romans, it talks about that there's only a time when they have an understanding and a realization of where they are. Amen. Let's look at Romans. Let's go ahead. I can just see the reading of minds a little bit. God's got the babies and all covered.
Amen.
And the children, they're covered. Amen. And he's got everybody that don't have knowledge covered. Look at verse 3 of chapter 3. This is one of the ones I didn't have on the list. Romans 3:20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, how many of you know God didn't give the law to the whole world? What? Who did he give the law to? To the Jews, to the nation of Israel. God chose one nation, one people, and that was the only people that he gave the law to. Right? But he says here, that law brought the knowledge of sin. The law brought the knowledge of sin. In other words, these people were involved in a transgression against God, but didn't even know what they were involved in. The law brought about the knowledge to them that they had sin. They didn't even know they had sin. How many of you know when you got sin? That means you got some kind of knowledge then, right? Because if you didn't have any knowledge, you could sin, you wouldn't know it. You got to have some kind of knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Now, with that, look over to verse 15 of chapter 4. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. Now, that didn't mean that people wasn't doing wrong. It meant they didn't have any knowledge of it, and therefore, because they didn't have any knowledge of it, God couldn't hold them accountable for what they didn't know. This is where the babies are going to come in. Look at verse 13 of chapter 5. These are three chapters, 5:13. We're still in Romans. Romans 5:13. For until the law, everybody say until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. So that's where babies come. In other words, without the knowledge of sin, there is no imputing of that sin. Are you with me? But once we have a knowledge of sin, then there is an imputing of that sin. And God said he chose one people to give the knowledge of sin to, so that that sin would be imputed. In other words, they would know that they have sinned. Without the law, they didn't have any knowledge that they sinned. They didn't have any knowledge of the fall, didn't have any knowledge of what was going on. The law brought about the knowledge. Somebody said, that makes the law look bad. No, you've got to understand, God wasn't giving the law so these people could live up to it. God was giving the law so one man could live up to it.
Yeah.
And that one man was his son that was to be incarnated through this group of people called Jews. These people couldn't live up to any of it, even if they knew it. That's the reason when they were given the law, they were also given a sacrifice for broken law because all of them broke the law. So their sacrifice was their substitute for broken law. They knew they were wrong because the law told them they were wrong. They knew there was something wrong inside of them when they had to bring a sacrifice every Sunday. If you had to bring a goat or a lamb every Sunday and cut his throat at the front door and pour his blood out, and I had to take that blood from you and take it behind a veil somewhere in another room and offer up to God incense over that blood, you would find out there's something wrong with you that you had to bring a goat every morning, every Sunday. They didn't know they were sinning until the law told them. But the law was not designed for them to live by. The law was designed for one man to live by that God had planned to send. And that was Jesus, his only begotten. Not his only son, his only begotten. Amen. His only begotten son, Jesus. He has to be like the first Adam with the ability to not sin. Adam could have saved all this from happening. Adam could have stopped all this from coming. Are you hearing me? He had the power. He had the knowledge. He had the ability. He had what it took to deal with this situation in the garden. And he sold us all out. The both of them together. Sold us all out. Are you hearing me? But Jesus is coming back to get us back. Purchase us. He's coming back to purchase us back to God. But the only way he can purchase us is that he has to be totally identified with man. So the incarnation is his totally identifying himself as God in flesh as a man. And the once he became God inside as a man, then he's like Adam was in the garden. That was God inside of Adam in the garden. Where did that spirit come from? It came from God. Are you hearing me? So that spirit came out of God. And the Bible even calls Adam God's son in one of the genealogies of Mary and Joseph. When they give the genealogy, the last one, one of those says, and Adam, God's son. So Adam was as much a son of God as Jesus was. Jesus had to come without sin and be all man. And it was to him that was given the law to live up to and not break it. Are you listening to me? That law was specifically given to him to not be broken. Because he was the only other individual besides Adam in the garden who had the ability to live up to it and not break it. And he had to live up to every letter of that law. So when he got to the cross, he had lived up to every letter of the law. He had been tempted by the devil many times. We only had a few of them that he gave us information about. But he'd been tempted sorely of the devil, like Adam had the devil come. But yet when he came to the cross, he was what? Without sin. Amen. Now, did that answer that about the other part? Did you get that? So we needed to understand. Let's go back now, because I want to continue with the scapegoat. Let me read what somebody said. Well, this came out a little bit last week. Yeah, I did, but I want to read it again. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, people didn't go home with all this information.
That's right.
I can go over it every day and get something new every morning.
That's right.
Same scripture.
That's right.
I can go over the same scripture and get something new.
Yes.
You say people that say they're tired of the word, that's telling me they don't know nothing.
That's right.
Because you can't get tired of life.
Right.
This word is my life.
Yes.
That word is my life. And I don't get tired of life. If I get tired of the word, then that lets me know I don't even know life. Thank you very much. Okay, now here's what one translation said, and I'm going to move on from here. This is the Paschal and Hobbes commentary. It's the Teacher's Bible. Here's what it said about scapegoat, and this is one I gave you last week. It says, translated as the goat of Azazel, A-Z-A-Z-E-L, you can write that down. But what does it mean? Apparently, Azazel is the name of something opposite of God. This would indicate, what is opposite of God? What is opposite of God? Come on, help me out first. You do know this, don't you? This is not a trick question. What is opposite of God? The only thing that's opposite of God is the devil. So this scapegoat represents something that's opposite of God. This would indicate that we should identify him as the chief forces of evil. Hence, as the devil himself. He seems to have been identified, this was what it said, I'm just kidding. He seems to have been identified in the non-biblical book of Enoch. I've never read that book, so I can't tell you the book of Enoch. The significance of sending the goat to Azazel seems to have been that as one goat served to cleanse the people, that's the blood, from their sins. Listen, now how's that blood going to be able to cleanse people from the world from their sins? It's got to have a high priest to take it to heaven and put that blood on the mercy seat in heaven where God is. But that's what that first goat was for, cleansing the people of their sins. The other goat, scapegoat, which is the scapegoat, had carried those sins back to their author, the devil. So this scapegoat that is represented in the two goats of atonement on the Day of Atonement, the second goat is God sending the devil back what he brought. Glory to God. Sending him back into his face what he brought. What did he bring? He brought a disconnect between the world of man and God. He brought sin. So he made his son sin and sent him back in the face of the devil. He made him sin with our sins. His spirit was spiritually dead with our sins, so that when he gave up the ghost and left his body on the cross, his body didn't go up to heaven. His body didn't float. His spirit didn't go up to heaven. It didn't float around. It went down. He was taken like the goat was by the hand of a fit man and carried into the wilderness. The devil takes every soul, that every spirit that comes out of an unbeliever, the devil issues that spirit into hell. He grabbed the spirit of Jesus because he literally was made sin with our sins, not recognizing what God was doing, not understanding spiritually what was about to happen. He took Jesus for the trip from the cross down into hell and left him there thinking that his problems were over. Only to realize that 3 days later, only to understand that 3 days later, this thing was put in his face. Because the Lamb who was made sin was not sinful. The making of sin was a plan. To be made sin was a gift from Almighty God to the world. To the world, to the world. That if God could take himself and put himself in a body and send that body to hell for 3 days, he could pay the price of all men's transgression. So that when those 3 days were up, devil had got back what he'd been given. Yeah. Come on. and got it back in his face. Let me show you this. Come, I wasn't going here, but I can't get some of the other. I'll get it next week, but I can't get it. Oh my. Okay. Go. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. One's in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I will give you a couple of scriptures that'll help you understand this. Ephesians 4, 9 and 10. Now he that ascended. Now who would that be? That would be Jesus. He ascended as high priest, carrying the blood of the first lamb, which was him, into the heavenly holies of holies and putting it on a mercy seat that would seal our redemption forever. Oh, and now look. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first. What did he do? Before he ever went up, he went down. Down is hell, heaven is up. Before he ever went to heaven, he went to hell. He descended first into the lower parts of the earth. You can study it out if you want to. I've done a study on hell. I'm telling you what, I've done a great math. There's a lot of scripture about hell. Hell's always down beneath. Heaven's always up. Look at verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he may fill all things. You and I are some of those things that have been filled by him who's went up. But before he went up, he went down. Before he was victorious, he had to become defeated with our defeat. He had to become identified with us in our sin, in our death, so that we become identified with him in his resurrection. Now, he could not be identified with man when he first came in his when he first came in the in, as a baby in Mary's womb, because he couldn't be sin then. So he had to come as a man, but without sin, so there was no man involved in his birth. Yeah. There was no blood of a man involved in his birth. He was supernaturally put into Mary's womb by the Holy Ghost. So that when he was made a man, he was made a sinless man. So that he could have sinless blood that could be carried. If we don't have this sinless blood, you and I are not going to get redeemed. The world's not going to get changed and redeemed without the sinless blood. But the plan of God was to make him sin on the cross so that he could die physically on the cross and his spirit could come out. Listen, if you don't die physically, if you don't die spiritually, you can't die physically. I got news for you. You can't kill God. You can't kill God. And Jesus, without sin, is still as much as God.
That's right.
If he sins, he's going to be like Adam and fail.
Yeah.
But without sin, he can't die. I'm going to ask you, did Jesus die physically on the cross? Come on, don't give me no spiritual answers. Did he die physically? I know you wasn't there. You wasn't there in person, but you were there legally. We were all with him. Just like we were all with Adam. We were all with him. He didn't die for a few. He died for the whole world. He died for every person that's flesh and blood. He died for every human being on the face of this earth, so that we were all identified legally in him. Just like we were all identified legally in Adam. We're all identified legally in him. But his identification with us was that he be made sin with our sins spiritually. See, if you just think hanging him on the cross did it all, it didn't. That's why sometimes preaching on the cross, I mean, we preach the cross, and we should preach the cross because that's where the blood comes from, the innocent lamb. We need to preach the cross, but we don't need to preach that that's all it was, just the cross. By the way, how many people getting crucified on crosses today? If the cross was the judgment, we'd still be hanging people on the cross. The cross was not the judgment. The cross was a means to get to judgment. We talked about in Hebrews, it said, once a man dies, then he enters into judgment. The cross, we have made the cross the judgment. The cross was a means to get to the judgment. It was not the judgment. It was a means to get to the cross. Is the cross valuable? Yes, the cross is valuable. That was the place of exchange. That was the place where the blood was poured out before sin, before Jesus was made sin. If the blood is not carried by him, by Jesus after the day of resurrection into the holies of holies, man is still in his sins. So it's valuable. But we can't make the cross everything. We got to have the full knowledge. We got to have the full gospel. We can't live on part gospel. That's the reason sometimes you see people go to church and their lives never change. They go to church, but they never connect. See, you got to connect. You got to know that you've been connected to all of this. Let me give you another one. Go to Psalms 116. I got to close. I'm gonna keep preaching this until we have a resurrection in this church. We're gonna have a runaway, or we're gonna have something. We're gonna get out of our dumbness and get into some understanding. We need revelation. We need revelation. We don't need information. Everybody's got plenty of information. We need revelation. Information makes religious people. Revelation makes victorious Christians. Non-defeatable Christians. Undefeatable Christians. Victorious over everything in this world. Glory to God. Got 116? Look at verse 3. The sorrows, and this is a prophetic word about Jesus. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. Come on. What got hold on him? She ain't got that one up there. Psalms 116. Psalms 116:3. Psalms 116:3. You got it? You on it? Look what I said. The sorrows of hell. This is a prophetic word. How many know there was a lot of prophetic words about Jesus? This is one of those prophetic words. The sorrows of hell compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Now, if that's not enough, look down to, I thought I had another one right there close by. Oh, here. No, it ain't. Okay. Well, that got me on. That did trick me. I thought there was one right there by it. Okay. Never mind. That's enough. I'll get you that other one in just maybe next week. All right. All right. Now go back with me. Let's go back. Let's see if I can wrap this up. It's time to wrap. Everybody say it's time to wrap. It's time to wrap, y'all. All right. Glory. All right. Let's close it. Let's close it here. Go to Hebrews 1. And I'll close it here. I got to close it. Now don't worry, I'm gonna get back to identification because identification is the most important understanding that we can have. That just like we were identified with Adam, we have been identified with Christ. Not only in death, he was identified with us. But in resurrection, we've been identified with him in resurrection. Paul said in Galatians, I was crucified with Christ. Now, how many of you know Paul wasn't flesh and blood at that crucifixion? But legally, he was crucified with Christ because of being made one with Christ. You understand that? being identified with one in Christ, Paul made this statement, I was crucified with Christ, or I'm crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I escaped death, I'm alive, but the life that I have now is not my life, it's the life of him that lives inside of me. Okay, how many of us found Hebrews 1? I'm not going to be able to teach this now, but I'm going to give it to you again here. And then I'm going to give you some scriptures to study between now and next time. Hebrews 1, verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. That's the sixth verse. Now, let me ask you, what day is the writer of Hebrews talking about in verse 5? He said, this day. This day is a specific day. And notice what he said. This day, he said, first, thou art my son, this day have I birthed you.
Yes, that's right.
So let me ask you this. The word begotten means to give birth. What day is the writer talking about giving birth to his son? Yeah, they've been under this preaching. But most people would have said in Mary. No, Mary was not the day that's spoken of here. This is the day, the morning of resurrection. And listen what he says. He said, and again. If you can't be again something unless you stop being something. Can you? He said, and again I will be to him a father. So somewhere God ceased being the father of Jesus. Because on resurrection morning, he says, and again I'll be a father to you. Today, this day, I'm giving birth to you, and again I'll be a father to you, and you'll be a son to me. When Jesus went to hell, he ceased being a son of God. And the Father ceased being the Father to him. But on the morning of resurrection, again I'll be a father. Again you'll be a son. God is literally giving birth to Jesus on the day of resurrection in these scriptures. Look what he says in verse 6. And again, when he brings in the what? What does first begotten mean? How many of you know what Jesus was called when he came in Mary? What was he called? The what? The what? How many of you know what only means? That means there's only one. He's an only. He's a single. Now, how many of you know what a firstborn is? What it mean? What does it mean, a firstborn? That means you got some more. Just simply, it means you got some more. If you didn't have any more, you'd be an only. But because you got some more, you're a firstborn. Jesus was the first one to get up out of spiritual death. He was the first one to get up from hell. Hallelujah. But thank God he wasn't by himself, because all of us came with him. We were identified with him. We were identified with him, and we came up with him. Now, we don't become that vitally until we accept it. But we're already legally the whole world is legally already redeemed. There's not anything that has to be done by God or by Jesus or by the Holy Ghost. Listen, if the world could see their future, get a glimpse of what's in their future, don't you know you wouldn't have to try to get them to an altar? They wouldn't wait till an altar call. Man, they would hit the ground and they would begin to praise God and thank God and rejoice for what's been given them and what they've been redeemed from and what they've been redeemed to. Nothing is standing between the world and what Jesus has paid for, but receiving.
Yeah.
It's not about, I'm telling you, it's not about what you do or what you don't do. It's about what you receive or you don't receive. The gift has been given. The price has been paid. You didn't have to go to hell. You just went to hell inside of him, because he identified with your sin. He identified with my sin. And we became one with him in sin. It was not just him hanging on the cross. I was like Paul. I was there with him. I was crucified with him. And guess what? When he rose, I was raised up with him. I was raised up with him because I was on the cross and I was in hell with him. Legally, he got me out of all this mess that Adam put me in. It don't have anything to do with what you do. It's not by works. It's not by works. It's by grace. This is the best grace message you will ever hear. This is grace because it's not anything you do. It's not anything that you work for God, you try to do for God. You're not trying to be good. You're not trying to do it. You're good because you know this is in you. And you work because you know this is in you. You're not working to get anything. You're not trying to be good to get anything. Everything's been gotten by him. It's a privilege. It's a privilege just to be in him. Thank God I'm not in Adam. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Say it with me. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Hallelujah.